Mr. New York, Mark Simone on WOR.
Good morning. Mark is off today. This is John Smith filling in for him. I don't want to be seen working on Juneteenth. Is it okay, Joe Bartlett? Are we allowed to work on Juneteenth?
Yes, you can work because the banks are open. Post offices are open today.
Oh, but it's a national holiday. Why are we working today? Is it, it doesn't kick in till next year? Is it that kind of a deal?
Well, it only became a holiday yesterday. It's kind of tough to put everybody on a holiday footing in 24 hours.
Yeah, let me just explain. Juneteenth is it's an important day in American history. It should be taught in history classes. It should be studied, honored, celebrated every year. But these pandering politicians, they're, as Joe Biden said, when you hear him talk about Juneteenth, he just wells up with tears. The emotion for him, this Juneteenth means so much to him that for the 47 years he was in politics, he never mentioned it. He never heard about it until February. But these pandering politicians, here's
Juneteenth,
Mr. Biden.
Juneteenth represents not only the commemoration of the end of slavery in America more than 150 years ago, but the ongoing work to have to bring true equity and racial justice into American society, which we can do.
Yeah, see the emotion as he read that off the index card they handed him? And when they first handed it to him, he said, Juneteenth, is this a misprint? No, it's the name of, it is? He's never heard of this before. I was watching Stephen Colbert last night. Did you see him talk about how important this was to make this a holiday? He started to almost cry. It meant so much to him. And that explains why for 20 years on the air, he's never mentioned it. He never heard of this until 3 months ago. But again, there's a lot of, it's an important day in American history, and there are a lot of important days in American history. You know, there's VE Day and VD Day, D-Day, D-Day. There's a lot of important days in American history, but you don't make them all national holidays. Otherwise, we'd have 27 national holidays. And so what is the deal with this? Is this going to be a thing every year where it's a national holiday, but the corporations all get a wink and a nod? You don't have to give it off. See, the problem is if you make it a real holiday where everybody gets off, it costs the economy billions of dollars. So is that going to be the deal from now on, no day off?
Well, or in New York and New Jersey, it's a state holiday, so the state offices observe it. So next year it will be federal and state.
Oh, so next year it'll probably kick. But that's going to be, you're going to have a Memorial Day three-day weekend, 4th of July three-day weekend, and then right in the middle of three-day weekend?
Yeah, yeah. Kind of convenient.
Wow. Hey, I'm for this Juneteenth.
Yeah.
Three-day weekend. So that's pretty good. Listen, it's pandering by a lot of pandering politicians in Washington. It's an important day. There's ways to pay tribute. I don't know. You can't have a national holiday for anything. You know, if you're the Hispanic community, you must be saying, where the hell's our holiday? If you're the Asian community, you must be saying, where's our holiday? You know, Asian Americans were put in concentration camps in this country in World War II. The day they were let out, there was, where's our holiday? So you may see a demand for a lot of holidays coming now. All of this is going to lead to the complete slaughter of Democrats in the midterm elections as they lose the House and the Senate. You know, there's this talk now that when they take the House back, when you take over the House as Republicans, you choose your new Speaker of the House. You don't have to choose somebody in Congress. Under the law, you can actually choose anybody, a private citizen. You could choose Donald Trump to be Speaker of the House. And some are talking about that, but they better stop talking about that. Stop mentioning that. That's going to like inspire a lot of Democrats to go nuts and try to keep them from getting the House. So stop mentioning that. Anyway, this is very important, mayoral race. This is the first real poll in the mayoral race. You know, all these polls before were these flimsy, you know, some stupid college poll. It's like students with iPads, amateurs doing a poll, or a Channel 11 poll, you know. But this is the first one from a real serious pollster. This is McLaughlin, the best pollster in the world. These are really serious polls as far as the metrics. They're done much more scientifically. So it's the first one. It was conducted June 10th to 15th, which would put it before the debate. But that debate was just a mess, just a complete disaster. So I don't think that debate meant anything to voters. Problem with that debate, and Channel 4 should be ashamed of themselves for what they did. That was the final debate. That should have been real substance and real questions. Every question they asked were like dumb, gimmicky game show questions that meant absolutely nothing to voters. You know, like, what's your favorite food? What's the one place you would never go? You know, those kind of stupid questions. What's the one thing you don't like about the other candidate? Did you hear the first question? Let's say you had to make an elevator pitch and you only had 30 seconds. What would you say?
Yeah.
Well, that's what the TV commercials are. Every TV commercial for all these kids, 30 seconds. It's an elevator pitch. So the reason for the debate is you're supposed to say, we've seen dozens of your 30-second pitches. Talk at length now. Give us your real views on this. It's Channel 4 just embarrassing themselves with the worst debate ever. So it didn't mean anything, didn't make any difference. But McLaughlin has done the first real poll. Eric Adams is at 21%. But here's the problem. Garcia and Wiley are right behind him at 16% each. So they're very close. And then Yang, and McLaughlin is the most scientific pollster. He puts Yang clearly in fourth place at 9%. That's way back. So Yang has slipped a lot, or the other polls weren't correctly measuring it. And then Scott Stringer has fallen way back at 7. And the other three people are the three biggest losers in history: Diane Morales, Sean Donovan, Ray McGuire. They're like at 3% and less. This McGuire is the worst. This guy should do a Bloomberg and not show his face in public again for a year. Just like, remember how embarrassed Bloomberg got in that final debate with Elizabeth Warren? Bloomberg's been in hiding ever since. Ray McGuire, the biggest loser ever. He's at the absolute bottom with 2%. Just horrible. The worst public speaker. I mean, he made Bloomberg look like Winston Churchill. So
here's the thing, though, Mark. You have to figure out if... No, where do the McGuire, if somebody supported McGuire or Donovan, where do their second votes go? Who would they?
Yeah.
Who would you think?
I would think they go to Garcia, but the problem is these two losers have so few votes that if you combine their votes and give it to somebody, it doesn't even move the needle. But you bring up a good point. Nobody, one thing we know, nobody is going to win on the first ballot, first choice.
Yeah,
nobody's going to win. You got to get 50% to win, and nobody is even halfway there. So it's going to go to a second ballot, third ballot. In fact, some of these people that have mathematically worked it out, it could go to 11 or 12 ballots. And in those cases, a lot of them, Catherine Garcia comes out the winner. So just because Adams is in the lead, and apparently Yang does a little better, but not much. The one that does much better in these 9th, 10th, 11th ballot is Garcia. So keep an eye on her. The problem Wiley faces is she's a real left-wing, kooky, nutjob progressive. So all of her votes are her votes. And she's not going to be much, she won't be a lot of people's second choice or third choice or fourth choice, because the rest of the people are mostly normal. They're not going to vote for a George Soros-owned and controlled whack job. So keep an eye on Garcia. This is what could surprise you. Now, here's a perfect, forget all the polls and studies and surveys. There's a guy I know. This is the smartest guy in the world. And he has no interest in politics, never follows anything, doesn't pay any attention to politics. So that's a really good barometer. That's most people. Most people don't talk about politics all day. They don't pay that much attention to it. They watch the news. That's about it. You know, 11 o'clock news. So who would this guy say? Well, he's a Democrat. And so I said, who did you vote for? Because he's the real barometer of where the average voter will go, the normal voter, not the extreme person. So he said, well, I don't like any of them. I just don't like any of them. So I voted for the garbage lady.
The garbage lady.
So, but that's interesting. Yeah. No, it's very interesting.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
So what he's saying is he doesn't even know the name, but this one seemed like the normal one of the bunch. Just seemed like the most normal garbage lady, meaning she was the sanitation commissioner. So he's thinking, it's logical, you know, yeah, she was the sanitation commissioner, emergency management head, you know, how bad could she be? Maybe not great, but she can't be that bad if she did all this. So don't be surprised if Garcia in the rank choice, or as they call it, rigged choice, ends up pulling ahead of Adams. You got to get to 50%, and that probably will not happen till at least the 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th ballot. So keep an eye on Garcia. The good news is, if you're very upset about this, it's the worst crop of candidates. We got 8 million people in New York. We got the most brilliant people here in New York. How do we end up with these wackos, these mediocrities, these losers, these nutshot? How do we end up with this? I mean, this is like the bottom of the barrel. The good news, two things. Number one, you got the worst mayor right now in the history of cities, the worst mayor ever. So no matter what, how much worse could it get? We're already at the absolute bottom with de Blasio. In fact, this poll, which is the first serious poll, shows de Blasio's true approval rating is 26%. So you got the worst mayor ever, so you can't get much worse. And then the other good news is whoever this is has to debate Curtis Sliwa, who will win the Republican primary. And Curtis can out-debate anybody. And the other good thing is, according to this, which is the first real serious poll, the main issue is crime, 30% on crime, housing 10%, jobs 8%. You know, it's funny, all this stuff, you know, racial stuff, police reform, all that is very tiny in what people are concerned about. Even taxes, it's only 2.4% of people are concerned about it. Crime is the main issue. Curtis, absolutely the winner on crime. So he could be. Can you imagine that? Joe Bartlett, Curtis could be the mayor of New York.
Worst things could happen, I suppose.
Yeah, no, he'd be pretty. He'd actually be pretty good.
Yeah.
When it comes to public safety and crime, he's devoted his life to it. There's nobody better on that. He's got Rudy Giuliani backing him. If you took over as mayor and you needed somebody to advise you, how do you get rid of crime? How do you fix this? What do you do about the police? Who would you go to? Rudy, and Curtis has him on board already. So. What about the economy, the budget? Hey, Larry Kudlow has endorsed him. What more of an endorsement do you want? Hmm. So now, what's the controversy with Yang? What did he say exactly that people are upset about?
He wanted to get the mentally ill off the streets.
What, and that's a controversy? Why?
He's being insensitive.
Every time I watch the news, it's always a video of like a grainy black and white surveillance video of the mentally ill person hitting somebody with a brick or a cinder block.
Mm-hmm,
and
what's
wrong with wanting to get that off the street?
Well, I don't know. I guess I don't have any problem with it. I think they should be off the street.
You know, through the years, it's every group. Well, you've got to treat them with respect. They should have equal every access. Yeah, well, of course. And one group, the next group, the next group. Now we're down to mentally ill, mental patients hitting people with bricks. Now we're saying you can't restrict their rights to. I think what Yang is saying is, if you're mentally ill and you're picking up bricks and hitting people over the head, you should not be out. You should be in a mental institution. Isn't that correct?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And he's tried to clarify this by, what did you mean by that? And he has a very good point. The two dumbest guys ever in government are Cuomo and de Blasio. This team together came up with a system. You've got, you know, sometimes you got homeless people who are just homeless, but most of the, every study shows, and Cuomo knows this, he was the guy in charge for the federal government of homelessness. He knows this. In every study, like 91% of these homeless are mental patients, drug addicts, all that stuff. So if they're mentally ill, violent, hey, talk to anybody who works in a mental institution. They're violent. They hit people, punch people, hit you with chairs and try to stab. I mean, their system is, we'll take them and we'll put them in hotels in your neighborhood.
Yep.
Now, I'm not an expert in running a government, but even I know that's not a good system. We'll put them, and they've done this. They put de Blasio and Cuomo have put these hotel rooms in these hotels all over New York. There's one next to Carnegie Hall. There's one on Park Avenue. There's one in every neighborhood. A hotel, just a big hotel filled with mental patients and homeless. And the mental patient in this hotel room doesn't say, let me stay home all day. You know, they're not home in the hotel room all day working on the computer. They don't have Zoom meetings they have to watch. And so they're out on the street all day screaming at people, throwing things, hitting people with bricks. Yang may be right. Maybe put them in a mental institution. But the problem is Cuomo and de Blasio are so incompetent, so stupid, they can't figure out how to run a shelter. That's their excuse. Well, the shelters are, you know, they're filled with roaches and rats, and they're not safe. So their answer is, well, we'll have to go rent a hotel room for all these people. Now, if you're Rudy Giuliani or somebody, George Pataki, somebody who understands how to do things, the solution would be, well, if there's rats and roaches, you come back the next day with about 20 exterminators, and they spend a week in there cleaning it out. And if it's dangerous, you put 10 cops in each shelter. It's not that complicated to figure out. But Cuomo and de Blasio are totally stumped by this problem. So their solution is spend billions of dollars renting hotel rooms in your neighborhood for the mental patient. The hotel, I hate to laugh, it's always near some construction site where there's a pile of bricks right there on the sidewalk. You do the math. I mean, this is just awful. So, hey, anyway, check out the webpage. There's a lot of great video. You got to see this. I was never a Pink Floyd fan. I don't know. I just never liked Pink Floyd. But I am now the biggest Roger Waters fan. Facebook wanted to use a Pink Floyd song that Roger Waters owns and wrote. And they were going to offer millions and millions of dollars to use this song to promote Instagram. Watch this video. He tells Facebook to go, I can't repeat the language, go F yourself, F you. I'm not giving you the song. You're the worst company in the world. You're trying to destroy the world. Watch Roger Waters tell off Facebook. Hey, also, speaking of this, now here's a little mini documentary. Somebody made this. This is great. It's just about 4 minutes on the huge crime spike in New York. Who did it? Who's responsible? It's up on the webpage. Go to 710WOR.com/Mark. 710WOR.com/Mark.
710WOR.
It's the Mark Simone Show.
Hey, we'll take some calls. 800-321-0710 is the number. You realize how dumb Cuomo and de Blasio are? These are the stupidest people we've ever had in office. You know, the other problem is Washington Square Park, from a couple of months now, totally out of control. First drug dealers and now violence and fighting. They're having amateur fights in there. There's one problem after another. It's the most crime-ridden. It's Washington Square Park. It's just, and by the way, it's surrounded. It's in the Village, surrounded by all these beautiful townhouses where all these very wealthy liberals live. They all voted for this. They all voted for de Blasio and Biden. Now their neighborhood is being destroyed. But have you heard Cuomo and de Blasio discuss what to do about this? How to solve this? Didn't they have a town hall meeting, Joe Bartlett, like 2 nights ago? They had a massive town hall meeting to discuss what to do about it.
Mm-hmm.
You ever been to Washington Square Park? It's two blocks. It's like 1,000 feet by 1,000 feet. Can you imagine Rudy Giuliani saying, wow, how could we fix this? What could we do? Just send in 50 cops, arrest anybody doing anything wrong, and take them out of there. It would take an hour for anybody to solve this problem. These Democrats are not the brightest people in the world. You know that when they talk about the border crisis, people pouring in over, what to do, how to solve this? just guard the border. Just put up a wall, guard the border. It's not that complicated. If people were breaking into your building, just coming into your building all the way. You'd say, what can we do about this? How about lock the door and hire some guards? It's not that complicated. It's like the shelter problem. What do we do? How do we fix it? Just fix the shelters, and then you don't have to rent 10 million hotel rooms all over New York. Let's go to Wolfgang in Hudson County. Wolfgang, how you doing?
Yes, good morning, Art. Listen, I mean, you know, since we are celebrating all this African-American history, like Black History Month, Martin Luther King, Kwanzaa, and Juneteenth, I would like to add a few more federal holidays. Let's say
this sounds like trouble. Go ahead.
Well, you know, Jackie Robinson's first
Bob Grant Jr. here. Go ahead.
You know, Jackie Robinson's first day with the, you know, with the major league.
Here Marcus, we go.
You know, Marcus Garvey getting off the boat from Jamaica and landing in Harlem, you know, or let's say the first blaxploitation movie with, you know, James Brown. I mean, why not?
I mean, the picture here. Hey, Wolfgang, you were a big Bob Grant listener, right?
Huge. I loved it.
Huge. Remember how much he hated Martin Luther King, and he deliberately would come in and work every Martin Luther King day?
he used to have a terrible name for, you know, Martin.
I forgot about that. Hey, Joe Bartlett, do you remember this?
Absolutely.
He would call, this Bob Grant would call Martin Luther King, when he referred to him, he would call him Marty the Scumbag.
Oh, Jesus.
Listen, Bob Grant, great talk show host, but he was crazy on certain things. And can you imagine if he did that today? He was doing this in the 90s, but... Can you imagine if he did this today?
No.
He was a pioneer. He was a pioneer. And see, but the thing is that
he was a pioneer. I mean, he wasn't a pioneer. He copied a guy. There was a guy named Joe Pine who pioneered this in the 1960s in Los Angeles, and Bob Brandt was his producer. So he just kind of took over for that. All right, Wolfgang, thanks for bringing back such bad memories. But let's go to Jim in Manhattan. Hey, Jim.
Yeah, good morning. You know, Biden cried yesterday at his Juneteenth speech. Did Biden cry like that when he gave the eulogy at Strom Thurmond's funeral, or in 08 when he said he was surprised to see a clean, articulate black candidate like Obama being the anti-racist?
Give Biden credit. He's a history of racist comments, racist things. He did the eulogy at the funeral of a big Klan leader, and he's signing Juneteenth into law. This guy, whatever way the wind is blowing at the time, he's there. Whatever pays off politically, that's him. You know, he's like Clinton in a way. He has absolutely no beliefs of any kind. Just check the polling, check the focus group, and that's where you stand on everything. Let's go to Brian in Long Island. Brian, how you doing?
Yeah, how you doing? Thanks for having me. I was in Washington Square Park for the first time in 20-something years, about a month ago. Walked in, one whole side of the park is rampant drug dealers. I walked towards the middle where the playground was and look over, and this guy has pants down going to the bathroom and kids running around at the playground. Broad daylight. Not a care in the world. Didn't even look around. Unbelievable. This was like about a month ago. And it's getting worse.
And Cuomo and de Blasio are holding meetings trying to figure out, what could you do about this? How can you solve this problem? You know what? Call Rudy Giuliani. Call Ray Kelly. Just put them in charge. Problem will be solved in about 20 minutes. It'll be totally safe in 20 minutes, I guarantee you. Hey, when we come back, Roger Friedman will be with us, the great entertainment reporter. How is Bruce Springsteen coming back to Broadway months before everybody? And wait till you hear this Bruce show. They want everybody vaccinated, but it's only certain vaccines they'll accept. We'll get to that in a moment on 710 WOR. Let's get the latest news. Here's Joe Bartlett.
The Mark Simone Show, Mr. New York, 710 WOR.
Hey, there's a very good website with great entertainment news, showbiz411.com. You should check it all the time. Got news stories every day. showbiz411.com, run by the excellent entertainment reporter, Roger Friedman. Roger, how you doing?
I'm great. Good morning. How are you, Mark?
Very good. Boy, I'm looking at your site. Is this true? Paul McCartney is 79?
I know. Yep. He wrote Love Me Too in 1957 when he was 15, and now he's 79. How do you like that?
But you got to admit, you know, for what he eats, he eats like plants and beans and seeds. And it must work.
He eats no meat. Great. So does Ringo. They're both big vegetarians, and it's not my thing, but it seems that's why they're going to live so long, thank God. But, it works for them.
Wow. Remember the song, the smart rock stars. When I'm 64? He's got kids 64. I mean, this is 79.
Well, just to make you feel really bad, and me, I just turned 64 last Friday, so I know how that feels.
You're like a kid. Hey, Bruce Springsteen, how is Bruce, the story's on showbiz411.com, how is Bruce Springsteen able to come back to Broadway before everybody else? He has the same ridiculous union costs that these other theaters have.
Well, it's only him, really. There's no musicians involved. So it's just him and, you know, the director and the lighting guy. He plays the music himself. So the show is always a low budget show to produce, and he made a fortune on it the last time he did it.
But you as know, you know, the under the crazy Broadway union laws, you're still required to have full crew and a band, believe it or not, even if they're not playing. You still got
to
pay for it.
Well, I think he pays a fee, I think, to the unions, but it's not the same as having the actual orchestra there. And then on top of that, you know that they're only letting in people who have FDA-approved vaccines.
Yeah, in other words, if you have AstraZeneca, they're not letting you in. They don't count that as a good vaccine for their show.
Or anything else. So if you're a tourist coming in even from Canada and you don't have Pfizer or Moderna or Johnson & Johnson, you're not getting in. And the question is this an omen for all of Broadway when it reopens in September? Because so far there's been no ruling from the Broadway League about you know, whether you have to be vaccinated or anything else. This is the first Broadway. This is a Broadway show. So this is the first Broadway show that says you must have proof of your vaccine, and it has to be one of these vaccines. So this is going to be kind of interesting because it does eliminate a big chunk of theater goers for the tourists, you know. So we'll see what happens. And the other thing is that these tickets, like tickets for The Music Man with Hugh Jackman, are selling for thousands of dollars on the reseller sites.
You're kidding.
Like, unbelievable amount of money. Oh, The Music Man with Hugh Jackman is selling, I reported the other day, they're selling for $8,000 a pair.
What?
Yep.
What?
Eight on StubHub. They're selling it for $8,000 a pair. Some are a little less, like $5,000. And the Springsteen tickets are up over, you know, twice as much as they are. The highest priced Springsteen ticket at the box office is about $800, but they're all sold out. See, the ticket brokers buy these things up and then flip them over. So they're charging $2,000 a ticket.
So to do a show like The Music Man, this is the big hot new show. Obviously, yeah. Everybody involved has been doing nothing. They've been gone for a year. So what do they have to do to get ready for September? How soon do they have to begin rehearsing and all that stuff?
They don't even begin rehearsing The Music Man until October 1st because it doesn't open until December 20th. It opens December. The previews begin December 20th. And Sutton Foster, who's the co-star of the show, has gone off to England, to the West End of London, to do reprise her Tony-winning performance in Anything Goes. So if you go to London for the summer, you can see her in Anything Goes. So she's not even coming back until, I think, the end of September to New York, and they're not going to start rehearsals until about mid-October. But meantime, people are, yeah, it's unbelievable the gouging that's going on, and it's made the show, The Music Man, will be impossible for most people to see. The prices are just completely out of whack with reality.
You think The Music Man may have a problem in that the story is so outdated about a con man comes and cons him out of a few bucks after we've seen Bernie Madoff and Bill de Blasio. I mean, we've seen some
con Donald men. Trump.
Hey, wait a minute. The jury will disregard that remark. Hey, but didn't The Music Man come back another time, like in the 90s or late?
Yeah, The Music Man, there was a great revival of The Music Man. It was the late 90s, I think, or early 2000s. And it was a great revival. Boy, I'll never forget it. It was just terrific. Once you put in a big star like Hugh Jackman and Sutton Foster is a big Broadway star, and it goes out of whack. And of course, the show is produced by Scott Rudin, who's in a lot of trouble on Broadway and has been forced to, quote unquote, step back from his shows because he treated his staff so viciously. And so they say he stepped back, but he's still sort of around lurking in the background.
So it's like in the baseball game when they eject the manager, but he manages in the clubhouse.
You know what? That's exactly it. And the manager, goes back into the dugout, or the clubhouse. You're right. And calls the shots from there. That's pretty much what's going on with these Scott Rudin shows like Book of Mormon and To Kill a Mockingbird. Yeah, that's the deal there.
What do you hear about Harvey Weinstein? He's going to go to L.A. He's been extradited for charges there. What's going on with him?
Well, I don't know if the charges – I know that they've been talking about extraditing him, and I think the last obstacle was finally knocked down. And with the pandemic, of course, they've been holding off for months. Yeah. I guess he's going to L.A. But what I'm told is that the cases aren't very strong. That's what I've heard. So he may be more successful in Los Angeles than he was here. And yeah, he's appealing his cases here. And his punishment was extraordinarily severe. So things may be changing for him. I don't know how it's going to work out exactly. Nobody does, but I think that, right now in New York, he's supposed to spend 23 years in jail. I think that's ridiculous. So, I think we'll see a cutback on that. And in Los Angeles, I don't know. They're not really good at prosecuting people in L.A. Usually good defense, Yeah, usually good defense attorneys, as we saw with OJ, do pretty well in Los Angeles. So we'll see what happens.
Hey, we only got about a minute left. Just tell us about what's going on in New York. Cabarets are open. Comedy clubs are open.
Everything really is open. Everything's coming back. It's pretty exciting. The Cutting Room is back on 32nd and Park. And City Winery is doing very well. And so little by little, the comedy clubs are back. So New York is on its way back. The question is, do you want to be in a big crowd? I don't know about that. You know, Radio City is going to start having, you know, everyone back, 5,000 seats. You know, they say we're okay now if we're vaccinated. If you're vaccinated, yeah, you're all right. So it's just a question of, you know, will you have to show that you've been vaccinated? Do you want to sit next to somebody who's not been vaccinated? I don't know about that.
Yeah,
do you want to sit next to somebody who's not vaccinated?
Well, as long as you're vaccinated, you're covered. I'd say we're out of time, but check Roger Freeman's site. Check it every day. There's new stuff every day. Showbiz411.com. Showbiz411.com. Roger Freeman, thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
All right, take care. And everybody check out the webpage. A lot of good stuff up there. This crime spike in New York. Here's a mini documentary. It's like a fascinating 4 minutes on how and why and all that. Also, I'm not the biggest Pink Floyd fan, but now I love them. Watch this. Facebook offers a fortune for a Pink Floyd song. Millions. Roger Waters, who wrote the song and owns it, tells him, watch what he tells him. He just starts cursing at Facebook. You're the worst, most evil. I'm not giving you the song. Watch this video. You'll love this guy. It's up on the webpage. Go to 710WOR.com/Mark. 710WOR.com/Mark.